Well, my thanks to everyone who's taken part thus far, for Elizabeth just for reading God's Word, and for those that shared memories. We're just going to have a short time now reflecting on some of those words of John in the first chapter of his Gospel. We don't have a Sunday school today. We do have Sunday school next week on New Year's Day, but not today. There were word searches going round, so if you want a word search, just wave, and I'm sure someone can coordinate and get your child potentially a word search. And there's also a creche room out in the hall, which again, I'm sure someone will be able to direct you there. You have to be of a certain age to go out to that creche room. You can't just escape me if you're of a certain age. Let me pray before we come to reflect on God's Word. Let me pray. Oh, Father God, thank you for bringing us all together today. Lord, we don't really know exactly which day the Lord Jesus was born. It probably wasn't even this time of year, but it is good to reflect on the fact that you did send your only Son to this earth to save us. Thank you for all the clues that there are in the Bible pointing us to the Lord Jesus, pointing us to your plan of salvation. And we pray for this time now that you would have your hand upon it. May those of us that have followed those clues and know the Lord Jesus through your grace and mercy and have received him into our hearts, may we be encouraged, may we be blessed as we study your word. And for any here wanting to know more, wanting to understand more, or perhaps they're just here because it's Christmas Day and it's expected for them to be at church on Christmas Day, Lord, please speak into men and women's hearts today, boys and girls. May this time not be wasted. We ask this all in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Well, last week we thought about the greatest gift and the brightest light at our carol services. And this morning we're going to spend a few moments thinking about family, in particular the very best family there is, God's family, a family that we are all invited to join. For many around the world, where Christmas is being celebrated, lots of families will be together. And it's one of the highlights of the festive season, being with family, catching up with family members that perhaps we don't see very regularly, being with loved ones, relaxing, having fun. Conversely, if you look at the surveys, one of the biggest reasons of why people struggle through Christmas, or why some people really don't like Christmas, you'll find that family also comes pretty near the top, if not at the top. There are those that weren't blessed with a loving and stable family growing up. There are those that perhaps have fallen out with family, and Christmas time just reminds them of that. And then there are those that have lost loved ones in their family, and they think of them particularly at Christmas time. And yet, family is at the very heart of the Christmas message in the Bible. God sent his only Son, whom he loved, to this earth. And Jesus, God's Son, humbly gave up the heavenly realms to come to this earth, all to fulfill God's plan of salvation. You see, God the Father and God the Son, when you read the Bible, it's very clear, love each other immensely. And they work together for the good of their family, for God's kingdom. And what was their plan? Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus ultimately live to go on and die? Why did Jesus rise again, return to his Father? And when Jesus did return, why did he ask his Father to send the Holy Spirit? What was and is the chief purpose of all this? Well, I believe it was this. So that God would grow his family. God would grow his kingdom. That was their plan. And whilst John is clear, when you read chapter 1, that in verse 10 there were those that didn't recognize Jesus. And in verse 11, his own, referring to the nation of Israel, didn't receive Jesus. John chapter 1 isn't a discouraging start to everyone's reaction to the Lord Jesus, because we have verse 12. And in verse 12, we read this, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." What a promise. The right to become children of God. So whatever your earthly family situation is like today, whatever your earthly family situation may be like after today or tomorrow, lots of family bust-ups sadly happen around Christmas time. To place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is to be part of the very best family there is. It is to have a father who oversees our every need. It is to have a brother who is our savior, our friend, who will always be with us. It is a family where there is the Holy Spirit that dwells in us and knits us together. So, two questions for us on Christmas Day. I like my questions. How do I join God's family? How can I become a child of God? An essential question for anyone who isn't in God's family, but also a great reminder for those of us that are. How is it that we join God's family? Well, we join God's family by receiving Jesus. Verse 12, "Yet to all who did receive him." Whatever our past, whatever our age, to join God's family involves receiving God's love in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to come to a point, as we thought about last Sunday evening, to recognize we are walking in darkness and we need the light of the Lord Jesus. And it is also to know that there is nothing we can do in and of ourselves to earn our way into that family, to earn our salvation. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 3. "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." And Paul here is quoting Psalm 14. So this isn't a sudden spiritual awakening that Paul's got to his own sin, his own need for Jesus. Paul is quoting Israel's greatest king, King David, who lived over 1,000 years before. And even David, despite his many good deeds and acts, a man after God's own heart, clearly recognized that he needed God's help. He wasn't righteous. David needed Jesus. He couldn't get to heaven on his own merits. Paul needed Jesus. We need Jesus. Even on our very best days, we fail to put God first all the time. We fail to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Test yourself today. How soon is it, once we leave those two doors there, that we're thinking about Christmas dinner, Christmas presents, family games? Are they going to go well? Are they not going to go well? I could go into memories with my father on this, but he's coming to my house today. His temper has changed down the years. Will we easily forget that all good things, as James tells us, comes from our Heavenly Father? 1 James 17. Or what about when you have that tub of roses or Cadbury's Heroes or celebrations? And there's one, let's take Quality Street, one orange crunch left, my favorite. And do I offer it to the family with the one orange crunch in, or do I quickly put that in my pocket first and then offer it around? Test yourself today. We cannot enter heaven on our own merits. We enter heaven by receiving God's love for us in Jesus. However, it's not always easy to receive. When we were young, we were more than happy, generally, to receive presents. And we likely don't think about anything else other than to gratefully, I hope, receive. How that changes as we get older. Now, if something is given to us, we feel the need to give something in return. We don't want to feel indebted. We want to show ourselves, don't we, to be as kind and as generous as the person who's just given us a gift. Yet to be a child of God is to be forever indebted to the Lord Jesus, for giving up the glory of heaven and come into this earth so that he could pay the price for our sins. And whilst we may rightly, when we turn to the Lord Jesus, want to live for the Lord Jesus, it is understanding that we can never pay him back for what he has done. We can never be as generous or as kind as God. We just need to receive. Sadly, pride often stops many from receiving, particularly adults. I think that's why Jesus said, as we saw in Mark this year, Jesus said these words, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." You see, children, watch it today, they will freely receive. God's children freely receive his grace, his unmerited favor on our lives. None of us deserve God's love. None of us deserve eternal life. But God freely gives it to us. All we need to do is to receive Jesus in our hearts by asking him to forgive us for our sins. Religions of the world are quite often about what you can do to get into God's family, what you can do to earn your salvation. To be a follower of the Lord Jesus is to know that our salvation is secure because of all what Jesus has done. But there's a little more to this word receive that John uses here that I think it's helpful for us to grasp. You see, this word could also mean to take hold of, to those that took hold of Jesus. Well, what does John mean here when he's saying take hold of Jesus? What does it look like? Well, let me ask you all a question here this morning, and this will be better for those that are regulars. Does anyone know Big Turtle? I hope I got the name right, Megan. Hold up Big Turtle in the air. Here is Big Turtle. Thank you, Graham. Let me tell you, in my opinion, Megan has taken hold of Big Turtle. I try to say hello to Big Turtle on the Sundays when he's attending church. He doesn't always come. But when he's here, I try to say hello. But I've noticed that she doesn't often release Turtle from her grasp. I sometimes wonder, actually, whether not Graham and Dawn have to lay a fifth plate at the table. And I suspect, actually, I asked Megan about this the other week. I know this to be true. Do you know Big Turtle is by Megan's side when she goes to bed, and he is there for her to take hold of in the morning? Well, Turtle's only a lovely teddy bear. But I think there is something genuinely for all of us in that little illustration about what it is to take hold of the Lord Jesus. It is to receive Jesus and to not let him go. It is to start and end each day with the Lord Jesus. It is, as John goes on to say, to believe in Jesus' name, to believe his promises that you can be forgiven. It is to follow and to live by his teachings. So how do I join God's family? Well, it is to receive Jesus into your life. It is to take hold of Jesus. It is to believe in him and to never let him go. Second question, what does it mean to become a child of God? What does it mean to become a child of God? And a one-word answer to this, everything. It means everything to be a child of God. The greatest blessing of which is eternal life. And the Lord Jesus describes what eternal life is. It is to know God the Father, and it is to know his Son, whom he sent. John 17:3. That is eternal life. That is the greatest blessing. Another blessing is to live as children of the light. Well, more on both of those two blessings in 2023. There are lots of blessings, and I want to think about a couple of others this morning whilst with a little bit of time that we've got left. Here is a blessing of being in God's family. It's a family where everyone is valued and loved. How some of us, as God's children, need to be reminded of this each and every day, that we are valued and loved. This is what John would go on to say in a letter. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Do we see God's love? Do we see God's love today as we think about Christmas Day, of God sending his Son? At the beginning of the Bible, God is with his people. At the end of the Bible, in John's revelation of the future, God is with his people. The greatest act in the history of our world is God sending his Son to dwell among his people. Why? Because God the Father loves and values us. He desires to be in a relationship with us. Jesus came because he loves and he values us so much that he was prepared to die for you and for me if we'd only but believe in him. Also that one day we could be with him and the Father forever. The Holy Spirit is here today because he loves and values us and wants people today to know God. People often ask, when the subject of faith comes up, what do you think about God? What do you think about God? Well, I think sometimes a better question to ask with a Bible open in your hands is, what does God think of you? What does God think of me? John says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. You see, we live in a world that is transfixed really on what other people think about us and how other people value us. And in turn, we often find ourselves desperately wanting to be valued by others. Yet sadly, we're not always valued at home. We're not always appreciated in the office. At school, sometimes we don't even feel valued at church. However, to be a child of God, to be adopted in his family, is to know you are immensely loved and valued. And knowing that the sovereign God of the universe has amazingly chosen us to receive him, that he sent his Son to save us, should enable us all as children of God to not worry how other human beings value us. Well, there is much evidence in our salvation for how much God loves us. But what about everyday life as a Christian? How do we know that God continues to value us? I was thinking about this past week, and then I was thinking about work. Well, how did I know for over 20 years in the travel sector whether or not I was valued by my employer at work? Well, for me, all I had to do was to look at my objectives. That's what I used to do. Firstly, have my objectives been set? Secondly, would they afford me an opportunity to learn? Thirdly, were there some new challenges to get my teeth into? Next, were they achievable? Would I be given the support I needed in order to achieve my objectives? And then lastly, could I see the part that I was playing for the greater good of the organization and the company goals? You see, if I can answer yes to most of those questions, if not all of them, I knew I was valued. Well, what about if we do the same basis just quickly this morning as a child of God? What about if we look at our objectives? Well, firstly, have our objectives been set? Well, yes, if you're a child of God, I could go to numerous passages in the New Testament, but let's start with the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them my commandments. Yes, objectives have been set. Secondly, do they afford me an opportunity to learn? If you're a child of God, you have an opportunity to learn every single day. That's one of Paul's greatest requests, I think, time and time again in his letters. Learn more about God. Learn more about your salvation. Will there be some new challenges? Well, just read the Bible. Talk to some Christians. There are challenges all the time. I'm going through one right now. Next, are they achievable? And will I be given the support that I need to achieve my objectives? Well, yes, they are all achievable because Jesus promises to be with us all the time. And actually, there's a wonderful verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 that here see us through all the way to completion. Lastly, can we see how our objectives form part of of God's kingdom, of God's plan? Yes, Matthew 5, 16. Our light shining before others, that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. We live for God's glory. Everyone is loved and valued, and it doesn't stop. Well, last blessing for today, and if we go back to John chapter 1, we realize we are born into a supernatural family. Verse 13. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. What a thought. Born of God. I have noticed over the last 15, maybe 20 years, that as a generation here in Britain, and I think most of the Western world, we seem to be obsessed with Marvel and DC superheroes, be it Spider-Man, Thor, Batman, Iron Man, Black Panther, Hulk. And I need to confess, there are some great movies. But you know, that this craze just reminds me, because this isn't just children now reading comic books. These are adults. These are older people going along to the cinema to watch the next Marvel film that actually in our hearts, we love to see a hero. We love to see someone with superpowers. We love the thought of good triumphing over evil. We love the thought of someone coming and saving the world. Yet the fact is that neither Marvel or DC or the most creative Hollywood director can bring these comic book characters to life. But if you read this book, you'll read about a hero in the Lord Jesus Christ who has amazing power. Power even over death itself. You can read about how he triumphed over evil. And you can read about how he came to save you, save me, and everyone else in the world who would believe. And for those of us who have received Jesus and believed in him, we are spiritually reborn into Jesus' family. So whilst our physical genetic makeup is a mixture of our earthly parents, we now have a spiritual DNA that is of God, that is in us. And his spirit is dwelling in us and is working in us, changing us to be more like Jesus. Now, we may not always see God's spirit at work. And sometimes we may feel that actually we're not changing very quickly. We look back on 2022, am I really changing? On occasions, you know, we even do our best to try and stop God from changing us. We stop praying. We stop reading his word. Perhaps we stop meeting together with other Christians. But God will supernaturally change his children through his spirit being at work in us. And you know, every now and again, when you just stop and pause and you look back, you can see that work. You know, Dietmar, my brother-in-law, told me recently that his mother, Gudrun, at home in Austria, has been watching some of our services. So a big thank you to the team at the back again. It's incredible, isn't it? We have a viewer on occasions joining us from Austria. Let me know if there's any other countries. And if you're watching today, Gudrun, this is the bit I'm most afraid of in the service. Frohe Weihnachten. I think that's Happy Christmas. Was that good, Dietmar? There we go. But you know, when Dietmar told me this, that his mum was tuning into some of the services, I just had one of those moments where I stopped and paused and thought, what? 25 years ago, when I first met Dietmar, and I was starting to, all guns blazing, going into the travel industry, could I ever have imagined myself pastoring a small church in Ashford? And I bet you for Dietmar, he would have struggled even more seeing this arrogant, cocky, young Christian friend of his thinking he'd ever be a pastor, let alone his mum would be joining some of the services. There's only one rational explanation for that. God's Spirit has been at work. As Christians, I think we too easily forget some of the truths that we are told time and time again in the Bible. We forget the reality of a verse such as this: "Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us." See, unlike Bruce Banner, we haven't been exposed to gamma rays. I don't think any of us will start turning green or growing rippling muscles. Unlike Peter Parker, we haven't been bitten by a special spider. We're not going to start getting spider senses. However, if you're a child of God, we have been born of God, and we have his Spirit at work in us, and we get Jesus senses. We get promptings in us to share that news with other people, to share the real reason why we celebrate Christmas time. We get prompts in us to love our enemies, those people that we struggle to get on with at work, at school. We get prompts in us to tell us to forgive our brothers and sisters, even when they hurt us. We gain a better understanding of his word. We learn to understand and better determine and to know God's will. We are born into a supernatural family where God's power, that same power that brought our Lord Jesus back to life again, is at work in you and is at work in me if we trust in him. So let me ask you, are you in God's family this Christmas time? Have you received Jesus? Have you taken hold of Jesus? And if you have, well, let me encourage you all. You are immensely loved and valued as a child of God, not just now, but for eternity. And his power is at work in you, even on Christmas Day. Amen. Well, we're going to sing one more carol, which Rachel was so gracious to me. It was a last-minute change. From the Squallow of a Borrowed Stable. And then I will come up and close our time together in prayer.